Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The Apostle Paul had given his defense against Jewish accusations before the Roman governor Felix. The scriptures don't tell us if Felix had more sessions with Paul or the members of the Sanhedrin who travelled to Caesarea for Paul's trial. Nor does the text say that the commander from Jerusalem came down to speak for or against Paul.
Have you any idea why the governor and his wife have sent for you for a private interview?
Curiosity, probably. Felix's wife, you know, is an Orthodox Israelite. To me, it is a golden opportunity to tell them the glorious message of salvation through faith in the cross.
Felix is a despot. He rules ruthlessly with an iron hand. As for morals, he has none. However, I am of the opinion that if you treat him right, he will free you.
If by right you mean compliment and flatter him, no. Someday I'm going to have to meet every one of my hearers before the tribunal of heaven and must render an account not only for what I say and do, but the spirit and motive of my words and deeds. I shall tell them truth, forgetful of all self-consideration. Greetings and salutations to His Excellency and to the charming Princess Drusilla.
We desired a private audience so we could ask you some questions. Also, we should like to hear about this new Christian faith. You're a wise, experienced man. Certainly, you realize that I hold the power to release you or condemn you. You must also know that a man in my position, well, needs money. Well, upon what do you base your Christian belief?
For century upon century, Israelite mothers have hoped and prayed for the advent of the promised Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, is the Messiah. Belief in him is the center of all Christian doctrines.
Well, then you do teach that the Israelite scriptures and ceremonies and laws and obligations to God are no longer binding? No,
quite the contrary, Princess. The prophecies pointing forward to the Messiah are fulfilled, and the sacrifices signifying belief in a coming Messiah. Naturally, those things pointing forward to a coming Messiah are done away with. He has come. But as for all other prophecies, laws of conduct, morality, they are still in force. They will always be. For God is love, and His laws are based on love. Love for God and for our fellow men. If God were to change even one iota any of His laws relating to human behavior, such as our relationship to God and to one another, then God would not be God, because in changing any law, or even an iota of a law, He would prove that He is imperfect. And God is not God unless He is perfect.
I've never had it explained to me like that before. And it sounds reasonable. It's exactly as if I sign an agreement to buy a piece of land. And that agreement is in force until I fulfill it, until I buy the land. Then the agreement has been fulfilled, and the paper I signed is done away with. I can throw it away.
That is precisely the way it is with the Israelite ceremonies and laws which point forward to Christ. No longer do they serve a purpose. They can and should be thrown away.
Paul, my little princess here was born an Israelite. Drusilla, is what Paul said true?
Yes. If the Messiah actually has come.
Now there's a point. Paul, can you prove that this Jesus you speak of is the Messiah?
Without the slightest doubt. All one need do is compare prophecies concerning the coming Messiah with the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you will find they fit exactly. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Prophecy foretells this. His life of ministry and service exactly fulfills prophecies concerning these things. He was accused and tried on false charges. He was reviled and spat upon, even scourged, and bore the cross, fulfilling prophecy. He was nailed to the cross. Even this was foretold in scriptural prophecy. His tomb is described, his resurrection, even his ascension into the heavens, all happened as foretold in Israelite scripture. The miracles he performed could be performed only by power from heaven. He raised the dead, healed the blind, the lame, the speechless, leprosy, palsy. He cast out demons. His bearing, his life, his sympathy and forgiving spirit toward sinful men were those of a king, the King of Kings.
But, sir, you are omitting one fact, one thing Jesus did not do that is plainly foretold in the prophecies you speak of. He did not free Israel or set up a kingdom with himself as king.
He established a new spiritual kingdom into which all Israelites, all peoples, may be saved. And when the time comes, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he will establish an earthly kingdom, which shall be an everlasting kingdom.
This salvation, what does it require?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Belief creates love. Love begets obedience, and obedience changes one's life from a sinful one to a holy one. A holy life in Jesus is a life of sobriety and temperance, of keeping the passions under control of reason. It requires that one worship no other god, obey father and mother, live purely, never steal, covet, or lie.
Those things are impossible to do.
Of ourselves, yes, but by faith in the power of God and the saving grace of Jesus of Nazareth, we are given the righteousness of Jesus. We live through and by him, not of ourselves.
But who is to say, to judge whether I live like this or like that?
Scripture tells us that there comes a day of judgment when each shall be rewarded by God himself according to his deeds. And then it will be made plain that wealth, position, or titles are powerless to save us from eternal destruction if we have not lived the life of Christ. God's royal law is far-reaching. It extends to the deep secrets of man's moral nature. It throws a flood of light upon that which has been concealed from the sight and knowledge of men.
God knows all our secret thoughts.
The dark passions that lie hidden from the sight of men, the jealousy, hatred, lust, and ambition, the evil deeds thought about in the deep recesses of the soul, yet never executed for lack of opportunity. All these things God knows, and his law condemns. Oh. Thus will we be judged on that final day.
I hate to think of the secrets of my past being revealed.
Don't worry about it, Felix, dear.
God is our creator. He justly claims the love and obedience of all his creatures.
This interview is ended. Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you again.
Felix and his young wife Drusilla wanted to hear more about the Christian faith, but their motives weren't entirely pure, as they weren't really seeking God, but rather to be entertained by some new teaching. Drusilla wanted to ask Paul some questions. Felix also had it in the back of his mind that Paul might be encouraged to offer him a bribe and thus be set free, but he certainly misjudged Paul's character and integrity. The Bible is very clear in many places that God is displeased with judges who can be bribed into bringing about a court decision that is not honest and fair to all parties. God himself said in Exodus chapter 23, "You shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous." In Proverbs chapter 10 it says, "Wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life." A man with a limp once brought a newspaper at a shop and walked home. When he arrived, he discovered that he'd taken two papers. Not wanting this to be on his conscience, he limped all the way back to the shop and returned the extra paper to the shop owner. A couple of weeks later, the newspaper shop was robbed. When the police came to take the owner's story, he said that there'd only been two people in the shop at the time, the man with the limp and the other man. The owner said it couldn't be the man with the limp, as he'd returned a newspaper when he'd made a mistake and taken two. The police then interviewed the other man, and he confessed to the crime. And we can think that doing such a small thing as returning a paper is too extreme. But did you know that less than 300 years ago, people were transported halfway around the world to Australia as criminals because they stole a loaf of bread at the time when they were starving hungry? Times since then may have changed, but God hasn't. He wants us to be totally honest. As Christians, God's love is to be our motivation in all we do. Why? Our love for the Lord should motivate us to want to please him. And next to our love for God, our motives should be unselfish love for others. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "Do the things that will show that you have turned from your sins." That transformation counts with God. First repentance, then the fruit of repentance. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants." To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. And those people who call themselves Christians but show no change in their lifestyle or sinful attitudes and thoughts only deceive themselves. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and a number of times he used the term faithful saying to mean a teaching that's true and worthy of belief. Paul's sayings can be summarized into 5 categories. Number 1, Paul's faithful saying on salvation. In 1 Timothy verse 15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul called himself a chief sinner who was saved by the gospel. His point is that even the worst criminal can be forgiven and saved. Paul obtained mercy from the Lord, and this was not what he deserved. Secondly, there's Paul's faithful saying on suffering. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. If we do anything for Christ, we will suffer rejection and persecution." Trusting in the living God is not always easy and enjoyable, as new converts find out the cost of labouring and suffering for Christ's sake and glory. But Jesus had promised us always to be with us and to provide a way through that honours his Father in heaven. Number 3 is Paul's faithful saying concerning service. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, "This is a true saying. If a man is eager to be a church leader, he desires an excellent work. There is a need for men to enter the ministry, but not for selfish personal reasons." Number 4, Paul's faithful sayings on rewards. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, Paul said, "This is a true saying. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we continue to endure, we shall also rule with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are not faithful, he remains faithful, because he cannot be false to himself." And then number 5, Paul's faithful saying on testimony. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." How a believer lives is important. Day in and day out, believers are to maintain a good testimony for Christ. We are to never take a holiday from living our faith. Grace is the liberty to serve, not the license to sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia, 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.